Good morning. Welcome to the Day Fox Home Remodeling Show. I'm Gary Demas. I'm glad that all of you are tuned in this morning, right, Jamie?
That's glad to have
listeners.
Absolutely.
Out there.
Good morning.
How do we know that we really have listeners?
The radio show tells us we do.
Okay.
So I believe that.
All right. I do too. Plus all the people that stop by that, you know, we'll get filling up the gas truck. And
yeah, that's true. We definitely get that a lot.
No, we don't have a gas truck. Filling my vehicle up with gas, let's put it that way.
There you go.
And someone will say, hey, I listen to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show. Do you ever get that, Dave?
I get that all the time.
All right.
Yeah.
So Dave's our new guest, but we're going to keep a secret who he is until I do a little bit of intro more, okay?
Yeah.
So I do want to invite everyone to our website. It's davefox.com. There we have a ton of information about remodeling, a lot of pictures. So if you're thinking about remodeling, definitely go to davefox.com, get a lot of ideas and info. You can also go to davefoxradio.com. There we have all of our previously broadcast podcasts and radio shows. Right, Jamie?
That's right. You got it. Okay. Otherwise, just follow us on all social media platforms at Dave Fox Design Build.
Great. Okay, so today we have our guest, Dave Schicks. Dave, how long have you been with our company? A long time.
22 years.
22 years.
Yep, and wow. I worked for about 2 years as a subcontractor before that. So yeah. Basically 24 years.
Well, congratulations.
It's been a
Thank
minute.
You. Yeah, it's been a while. It's been good.
Yep.
And how often do you get confused for Dave Fox?
At least twice a week.
Yeah.
Yep. Because nobody else on the planet has the name Dave.
You know.
Yeah.
It's original. It's very original. I think we all get that, though, a little bit, that our assumed last name is Fox or that our first name is Dave.
So are you Dave's daughter, Jamie?
I get that a lot, especially because I drive a lettered vehicle.
Okay.
And people do make that lovely assumption that I must be
My name's
daughter.
Gary, and I get Dave, too. So
I would believe it.
Which I promptly correct them and say, no, I'm his granddaughter.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm kidding. There's no relation.
Yeah.
But.
Okay.
That is. Yeah. So, Dave, you've been with our company a long time. You've held a lot of positions within our company. What is it that you do now?
I am the production manager. I have been for about the full time officially the last 2 years. Before that, I was the field manager. It was a position we created in 2015. Just because as we grew, we needed to add layers and some more oversight for all of production. And in those 7 years, I worked alongside our former production manager, Greg, and together we ran the whole production department. And now, like I said, for the last 2 years, I've overseen production along with our two field managers, Mike and Mark, and two great guys that do a great job.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, describe the field manager position to maybe some of our listeners.
The field manager position, one way to describe it is, what I've told our guys, Mike and Mark, is their job is to build great PMs. So their job is to go do site visits.
And what is a PM?
I'm sorry, our project managers. Yeah. We have 9 project managers on staff that run anywhere from 3 to 5 projects at any given time. So what their role is they go around and do site visits, make sure that the quality is up, make sure that the clients are satisfied, job site cleanliness. We've added some new protocols with frame checks where they go around and they do a double check with all of our project managers and make sure all the framing is plumb, level, dimensions match the plans. It's just an extra layer of oversight to make sure that we don't have to go back and do rework. They will do 30-day walks before the end of the project where they make sure that our project managers have everything they need to finish on time. And then shortly before we have our final walk, they will go through and walk the project with our project managers and make sure it is truly ready for the final walkthrough.
Yeah. And, one thing you had mentioned that their job really is to make sure our project managers are everything that they need to be.
Yep.
And, something interesting about our company is that our project managers, we always hire from within. So that's a promotion from a carpenter to a project manager. So they're not typically coming to us with, necessarily years of project management experience. We are kind of growing them and building them to be a project manager for our company and the way that we work.
Yeah, that's how it's been as long as I've been here. There's only been three times in all of my years here that we've hired a project manager from outside the company. And one was a project manager who was a former project manager years ago, went out on his own for about 10 years and just decided he wanted to come back home, which has been great.
Yeah.
And if you're listening, Tom, you know who you are. But yeah, that is the one thing that we tell people when they interview with us, that we do promote within from within, because we want to allow our people to know that they have an opportunity to grow within the company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And giving them that, you know, kind of mentor to help them learn that position, because there's a big jump from a carpenter to a project manager and what your responsibilities are. And it's a lot.
Yeah, it's huge.
Take in. Yeah.
Yeah, it's huge, because just because somebody is a great carpenter doesn't mean they're going to be a great project manager, which is a manager.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could not be able to physically do a lick of carpentry and still be a great project manager, because it's about organization, communication, oversight of quality control, customer relations, and the list goes on and on.
Yeah. It's a different animal, for sure.
It really is. It's,
you know, hiring from within, too, is really good for our culture, because mm-hmm. we know that if there's been a carpenter here for a number of years, we know they're a good culture fit. So moving into a management position, that's even more important, is to make sure that we're maintaining our company culture.
Yeah, and, you know, over the last 3 to 4 years, we've gotten a lot younger due to retirements.
That sounds so funny.
Yeah.
Over the last 3 to 4 years. That doesn't happen with me personally.
What's right, I know, I know.
But that happens for me.
Yeah.
Okay. It does.
So we, several of our project managers are newer to the role. But, you know, the good part about that is we are able to establish good habits rather than trying to break bad habits.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some great guys that are, you know, they all want to do a great job. They go through, I think, weekly, I guess I would call it management training with our human resources consultant. We have bi-monthly reviews with them and just go over everything about, you know, job performance, you know, client reviews, on-time completions, you know, monitoring their budgets, feedback about, you know, what they're doing well, you know, areas where there's opportunities for improvement. And, you know, it's been a really good tool that we've recently started instituting. We've always done it, but this is very much more structured. And, you know, it's, I think it's going to pay big dividends
yeah.
as we move forward.
I mean, anytime you're getting, you know, feedback, it's really beneficial for your growth. But to get it weekly, consistently, and in such a structured manner, I think is something that's so cool that we offer to our project managers.
You know, the structure as a company grows is so critical and important. It's just like if you're building something, the bigger it is, the more structure and support you need underneath it. So just way with a company, when you're building a company, as we get larger, you know, systems, processes play so much more of a role, because so many different people are wearing different hats and have different responsibilities. So
mm-hmm.
the communication, you know, that has to go through the company now is far more important than it was like 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, and part of the growth opportunities that we provide is with each and every one of our project managers, they each have a lead carpenter. A couple of them, I would say, have two. So quarterly, we invite them to our project managers meetings and just get them invested and understand, you know, everything that goes into being a project manager.
Good. Okay. We're talking to Dave Schicks. We're going to be back in just a minute. Welcome back. This is Gary Demas. You're listening to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show, either on 610 WTVN or on a podcast somewhere in the world.
That's right.
Or on a different planet if you're in the space station.
Whichever.
Okay.
It works.
All right. And today, if you're just tuning in, we've got Dave Schicks. He's our production manager. And we're talking about, Dave, some of your roles and responsibilities, and also the people under you, and kind of We ended the note at the end of the last segment on the structure of the company, how it's really just continued to be improved and built up. But one of the things, you know, you mentioned in our last segment that each of our project managers, which we have nine, right?
Yes.
Okay. So each project manager would be responsible for typically for 3 to 4 projects at a time.
3 to 4. Some can carry 5. There's probably a couple, you know, because we have a couple crews that have additional carpenters, and you know, just based on their skill set and the tenure that they have here and their experience, can carry maybe up to 6.
Yeah.
But what we try to not overwhelm our project managers and spread them too thin.
So somebody listening right now is thinking, I would want one project manager just for my job alone. How can they do 3 or 4 or 5 or 6?
It's all about organization and communication.
Yeah, explain that a little bit.
You know, back when I was a project manager, I always had, for lack of a better term, I had a matrix that I mapped out, and I probably did it 3 times a week. And I would, let's say I carried 5 projects. I would write down what my next 3 weeks looked like for every project to make sure I didn't have conflicting tasks such as flooring on 2 different projects in the same week. So it's all about kind of looking at the big picture and standing back, and how can we make sure that despite the fact that the project managers carry 3 to 5 projects or whatever, you know, for me as a PM, and this is what we've tried to train our guys to do, and I think we've done a good job with it, we want every client to feel that they are that project manager's only project. Mm-hmm. The reality is they're not. But, you know, that all goes down to communication, mindful scheduling, just making sure you have all your ducks in a row and not just seeing past the end of your nose. You know, you need to see 5-10 steps ahead. And,
because if the project manager was the only person working on the job and doing all the trades, then he would need to be there every day. Right?
Every single day, yeah.
But we're scheduling our different tradespeople to come in at different times, and there's just so many different things that are going on at any given time that involve other parties that we're managing. If the project manager was there every day, all day long, he'd be wasting a lot of time.
He would be wasting a lot of time in... You know, in the way we're set up with having 9 teams, you know, essentially, you know, plus we have our in-house plumbing, we have our masonry and excavation, in-house painting, in-house tile crew, you know, just kind of overseeing all those trades and just making sure that they're getting out ahead of it. So the project keeps moving. And, you know, the one thing when I was a project manager, if I was PM here for 14 years before I moved into the field manager role, is just getting the clients to understand that this is a process that we have to go through. Otherwise, we would just be a guy in a truck and just doing one project at a time. Mm-hmm. And that's just not who we are. That's not how we're built as a company.
Yeah. And I also think I've always thought of kind of the production realm of our company as a bit of the game of Tetris. You know, it's, when you're playing Tetris, those pieces keep falling and you have to find the right spot for them to fit in. And that's kind of how, when you're running all these jobs, it's somewhat how it is, you know, this job, it's going to need plumbing. It's coming up. I need to find the right place and time for it to fit in so it doesn't overlap with this job and et cetera. And it is kind of, it's a bit of a puzzle and a bit of a game of Tetris that, and then Dave, your role really is to play the bigger game of Tetris, right?
Yep.
With all of them.
Yep, it's the big picture.
Yeah, and scheduling all of our jobs and kind of deciding which project manager is going to take on the next job on the docket, and things like that, and planning it all out. And, you know, we got to a point during that, you know, post-COVID time when we were extremely busy, and we had a very long backlog of people waiting for their projects to start and wondering when they would be next. And it's that tough, you get to that tough spot of, I mean, I even remember this at restaurants. They would sit you down and say, you know, if you don't mind, we're going to be a little slow tonight because we're understaffed. And I would always kind of feel like, are you understaffed or did you overseat the tables? You know, don't seat areas that you don't have a waiter for. And we tried very hard to do that as well of, you know, not seating tables we didn't have a project manager for. And it got, it got really interesting. That game of Tetris was on super speed.
Yeah, that was a tough time, because, we were very busy, and I use the restaurant analogy a lot.
Yeah.
And, you go to a great restaurant because they have great food and they have great service. All of a sudden, word gets around, hey, this place is great. You really need to try it. Now, all of a sudden, they're really busy. The only way that you can address that is to hire more staff. With hiring more staff comes training. So now you're trying to train in the middle of a very, very busy season. Mm-hmm. And that season lasted for about 4 years. We went through some growing pains, but you know what? We came out stronger because of it. We always talk about we hire for character first. Are you teachable, trainable, coachable? I tell prospective employees, if you're looking for a job, this isn't the place for you. But if you're looking for a home, this could be a very good fit, because we practice what we preach. We don't just tell them there's opportunity for growth and not deliver. Mm-hmm. We have several carpenters right now in an online training course. Four of them that are doing their certified lead carpenter program right now. So we are investing with them, because you never know what could happen.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
Yep. Our people are our company, our very most important resource.
Yeah.
Yeah. And fortunately for us, we have great people throughout the company. And we had our production meeting last week, and we watched a video. I can't remember the name of the guy, but he does a really good podcast, and he talks about...
Was it the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show?
No, it was not. That's another great one, though. He's a craftsman that's been in the business for many years, but the subject of what we watched last week was about, when you're working, about your character, your work ethic, how you treat others, how you present yourself. And so after the video, we had a discussion about it. And, one of the things I told our group is, I wanted to thank them all for, most importantly, who they were. Because if we didn't have the staff that we have in production, as far as the quality of human beings that we have, my job would be very, very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's an easy job that I have, but they make it very worthwhile.
In our production meetings, where we have 55 people or so?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Yeah. So you got this room full of these talented carpenters and stuff, and have them going through different subject matter. But my favorite part of the meeting is when you open it up for our team members to compliment one another. And
yeah.
So talk a little bit about that.
Oh, it's great. Because so often in meetings, and it doesn't apply to just our industry, it's just about every industry. A lot of times in meetings, everybody wants to focus on the negative, and why is this happening, and how are we going to get better? Well, you do have to address those things, but there's a way to address those things. So we talk about that. Gary, you sit on all of them, so there is a certain narrative that we reiterate every meeting, and that's mm-hmm. never going to go away. But, we want to keep it positive. What are we doing well? How would somebody like to recognize one of their teammates? One of our guys spoke up last week, and he said something that was just really great. He said, I'm trying to remember how he phrased this. He said something to the effect of, if you have somebody that is trying to learn, that really wants to learn, but they're falling short, don't complain about it. Don't complain about it to other people. Help them, because mm-hmm. they want to get better. So you need to invest in your teammates. And, that's who we are.
Perfect. Yep. Great. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Good morning. Listen to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show, where we are here on 610 WTVN every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. And we've been doing that for 11 years, 10?
Yeah, something like that.
Long time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been fun. We've talked about a lot of different subjects, haven't we? Inside, outside, above, underneath, you name it.
Yeah.
Inside walls, outside walls. Yeah. So all of those, where can people find all that stuff, Jamie?
Yeah. Well, on our website, of course, we have, you know, tons of information about our company, and you can also get through to the podcast from there. Also just going straight to DaveFoxRadio.com. All of our podcasts are available there, or finding us on any podcast platform that you have or use, you know, Google, Apple, whatever's on your phone. And just listening, picking out which ones you want to listen to. You know, we do have guests, you know, such as Dave here somewhat frequently. We try to get guests in here. Sometimes they're a specialist in, you know, from maybe a material that we use, or one of our vendors or subcontractors. And sometimes we have our own employees on, which can be really interesting, especially if you or somebody you know is interested in getting into the trades. You know, we did an event years ago for high school students. We had about 60 high school students come, and just introducing them to the professional side of this industry. You know, so often when you think of, you know, someone doing work on your house, you picture just a guy in their truck, right? A man in their truck. That's kind of the vision that tends to come to mind, not such a professional company, you know, such as ours that has a whole staff of office staff, a whole production staff with all these in-house trades, all this opportunity for growth and, you know, to really have a professional career in the trades industry. And there are several companies like us out there that have that professional aspect to this industry. And I know, Dave, you share that passion with me of just trying to really get the youth kind of excited about that possibility. Because college is not for everybody. Some people are not cut out to sit behind a desk or at a computer, or don't like computers. Personally, I love them, but that's not for that's. But no one wants me out in the field either. But I think that there are so many people that get pushed into college or pushed into a job sitting at a desk or behind a computer that's not what they're meant to do. And this is just, I just love giving so many young people this opportunity to come to a company like ours. I just think it's really cool. And so, Dave, I guess on that note, how did you start in this industry? What was your path? You know, did you ever sit behind a computer?
I guess now you kind of do. every day now. I started working with my dad in the summers when I was about 13 years old. And I'm not going to lie, I hated every minute of it. For the first few years, my dad rode me pretty hard. But, you know, when I look back, I'm glad he did. You know, I did that for, well, gosh, from 13. And then when I went through college, originally when I went to school, I went for graphic art and design. I actually worked for a sign company for 3 years, and I was the computer programmer and did all the layout and design. And you wouldn't believe that I did it with the limited skill set I have with computers now. But, you know, I also worked on the weekends with one of our design consultants. And, you know, it's funny, he was my boss, and for so many years he kept trying to get me to leave Fox. And I was like, no, I'm happy here. Why don't you close your doors and you come to Fox? It was about 6 or 7 years ago, and we had a need in the sales department. And I reached out to him, and I had happened to catch him at the exact right moment, and it's been great. And he's like, why did I not do this sooner? But, you know, so I've had an interesting career path because, you know, after I left the sign company, I worked for Scott with his company doing windows, doors, siding, exterior trim, roofing. Then I went off on my own for about 3 years. And I happened to run into one of the design consultants that used to work here years ago as I was leaving the golf course. And I just happened to be taking my work truck to the golf course because my wife didn't want to let me take the nice car. And had he not seen my pickup truck, he would have never said anything to me. And, you know, that's where it all started.
Yeah.
Back in around 2000. And, but at that time, when I was working for myself, I was actually training to be a firefighter. So I got my EMT basic card. I got about halfway through the firefighting portion of it, and we had some family events come up, had to get put on hold. But I believe everything works out for a reason, and you know it's worked out for me. And you know, one of the things I told the guys in the meeting that we had the other day, you know, where I'm at today didn't happen on the timeline that I had hoped for, but it happened. So be patient. You know, this is a microwave society. Everybody wants everything right now. And just, you know, stay the course and, you know, and don't mess with happiness if you're happy working here. Mm-hmm. You know, don't go chasing the dollar, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It reminds me of the phrase, bloom where you're planted.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes we're planted in areas that we don't have control over, but we can control whether we bloom or not.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's worked out great for me. You know, there's a lot of people out there that dread going into work. I don't. I absolutely love my job. And I love my job because of the people I'm surrounded with.
Yeah.
And
me too. For
yeah.
The exact same reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't.
I know. It's always interesting when we get that. We'll get that question a lot in interviews. We interview as a management team all together, which is fun for us.
Not
anyway.
Not so fun for the interviewee.
Yeah, it's fun for us. But I actually love interviewing people. But one of the questions we get asked often is what has kept us here at this company so long, or what our favorite part of the company is. And we all often have very similar answers surrounding around our people. Because it is. It's what brings all of us here every day, is being in a culture of so many people that share the same passions and work ethic. It's, you know, it's special.
Yeah, one of the guys that we had his annual review, I want to say it was about a year ago, and we were just kind of chatting and asking about how he's enjoying how things are going. And he said, you know, I've only ever worked at Dave Fox in the construction industry, but the best way I would describe it as far as the industry goes is that our company is kind of an oasis versus the norm because of the quality and character of the people that we have.
Yeah.
You know, we don't backtalk, we don't backstab, we don't tolerate cursing, you know, everybody treats each other with respect. There's a lot of them that are friends outside of work. They share training videos with each other. So many of our carpenters follow people on Instagram and are looking for better ways to do things, and they share that with everybody. And it's pretty cool. You don't find that at many places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very cool. So when you started here, you started as a carpenter?
I started as, we had a window and door division for about 3 years.
Maybe 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. So I was doing windows and doors and, you know, siding, you know, some roofs. And I remember our former production manager from years ago, when I was subcontracting, he asked me at least twice a week, because I was doing a lot of work for Fox, to come on board. But that's when I was training to be a firefighter, and I was like, you know, that's just not the path, but thank you. But yeah, so the first 2 years that I worked here, I did nothing but windows and doors. Mm-hmm. And kind of oversaw that part of the division and siding. You know, there's a local company in town that is very well known for their windows and doors, and they became very competitive, and we just didn't quite have the window work that we thought we would. Then I ended up moving into the small projects division. And then Gary took me to lunch one day and asked me about moving into PM role, and here I am.
Bingo.
There you go.
All right, and it's been great since then. Okay, we've got a break to take, and then we'll be back for segment 4. You're listening to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show, and I'm Gary Demas, president of Dave Fox Design Builder Remodelers. Of course, Jamie's here. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Dave Schicks. He's our production manager for the company. And Dave, you've been here really working for Dave Fox for 24 years.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
2 years as a sub, and then 22 years
yep.
as an employee.
Yep, as of March 18th, last month.
And now you've got like about 50-some people under you.
It's close to 50.
That's
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Dave, what would your biggest piece of advice be, or what's some advice you would give to someone younger, maybe in high school or currently maybe going into college or post-graduation, that's considering getting into the trades?
Well, you know, if you have a passion for working with your hands and being able to walk away at the end of the day looking at something that you're proud of and saying, I did that, and making clients happy, you know, that was the biggest thing that I missed when I moved out of the PM role into the field manager role. I couldn't walk away from something at the end of the day and be like, man, that just turned out great. And, you know, the clients are hugging it out, or, you know, high-fiving each other at the end of the job. Instead, it was, you know, just making sure everybody was on an even keel. The quality control was there. I turned into more of a therapist as the field manager. But, yeah, so I forget the original question. So
that's okay. What would your piece of advice be?
Piece of advice would be,
well,
you could go to college for a degree that probably pays maybe $40,000 to $50,000 a year and rack up $120,000 in debt that will take 30 years to hopefully pay off. Or you could have no debt, and within a few years, you could be making a very good income based on how hard you work. We tell everybody you get out of it what you put into it. And, you know, I personally don't like debt, you know. And college isn't for everybody, you know. Not, you can't fit, you know, a square peg into a round hole.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been ingrained in the youth for so long that if you don't go to college, you're going to be a failure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the tide is starting to turn, and the younger people are starting to see that. And the you know, the pay and the demand for tradespeople is at an all-time high.
As well as college tuitions.
College tuitions.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I, you know, we have people reach out all the time about doing summer internships, or could they come in and see what we do for a day? And we always welcome that. I'm actually part of the BIA and NARI Workforce Development Committee, trying to help get younger people excited about going into the trades.
Yeah.
And we meet once a month, and you know, it's a good program. You know, it's a good group that's trying to do the right thing, and you know, you just try to control what you can control, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, just thinking of our employees and when we're hiring, most of our hiring is based simply on experience and capabilities, and of course, personality and culture. But in our interior design department is the only area that we really require a degree in design.
Right.
But that's the only part of our company that we require a college education.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, work ethic is such a big part of what we do, whether it's in the office or in the field, because when you're working for a client, you know, or somebody, especially in their home, their private sanctuary, the expectations are very high, the emotions are very high, and you really need to be able to deliver every single day. And so I think that, you know, that desire to not only stand back and look at what you've done and created and be proud of it, but also be able to appreciate, you know, what you're doing for somebody's, you know, longevity in their home and their life. I mean, every year at Thanksgiving, I always kind of think about and wonder how many people's Thanksgivings we were a part of, you know?
Yeah.
And it's...
That's a fun way to look at
it. It's a fun way to look at it, right? I mean, think about how many people are creating memories in the spaces we've created and how much it's impacted their life. And it's really, it's such a rewarding job. I mean, it's a very cool thing that we get to do. And the trades is, it's becoming so hard to find tradespeople. You know, if you need to hire an electrician, a plumber, a HVAC person, whatever the case is, it's really hard to find, and it's really hard to find maybe reputable and knowing where to go and where to look for. And the fact that we've kind of brought so much of that in-house and under our umbrella is really kind of cool and kind of growing those people and things like that. But I think too, you know, for so many, it is hard to start because there isn't this college course you can go take and all of a sudden be certified and be a good carpenter. So it is something you have to build, and you just have to start building. You physically have to just start doing it. And I think that that's true for any job. I mean, I graduated in 2008, and let me tell you, there were no jobs. So I just called every single design building type company in the city and offered to clean their floors just to get my foot in a door and do whatever it took to have something to put on my resume. And I think that that kind of grit is what this industry really takes, is putting it all out there and, you know, and no, you know, not feeling above it all.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's what I say all the time, you know, to our guys, you get out of it what you put into it. You know, I would have several years ago, you know, a lot of our carpenters said, I want to be a PM someday. Okay, that's great. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
You know, don't just tell me, show me. You know, ask your PM if you can sit in on, you know, an in-house meeting or an on-site with a client, how they build their schedule, you know, learn, mm-hmm. You know, and the PMs that we currently have on staff did that. Mm-hmm. You know, as I said, we've gotten a lot younger in the PM role over the last few years, but the good part about that is we're protecting our future.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what it's all about, because, you know, I watched a video this morning, and for every 7 tradespeople that retire or leave the trades, they're replaced by 1. And the average age of tradespeople right now is 50 across the nation.
Wow.
So think about that. And also in terms of AI, how people are afraid AI is going to take their jobs.
Yeah.
I don't know if AI can hang crown molding.
I don't think so. Yeah. So, you know.
It's true. It's always going to be a need.
It's always going to be a need.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And even, I mean, everything that you know how to do and most of the production staff knows how to do. I mean, let me tell you, as someone that's not that handy and married to someone not that handy, having that skill set, even just for day-to-day life, is so valuable. I mean, it is very, it's hard. Home requires a ton of maintenance. It's a ton of maintenance. And not knowing how to do it, who to call, you know, what's right, what's wrong. You're getting fed all this information. You can't trust what you find on Google anymore. It's hard. And it's all skill sets that no matter what you do in your life, you will use, and they will be valuable.
Yeah, I was in a training class yesterday, and I was talking to the instructor, and he lives in a older neighborhood, 91 MI home neighborhood. And everybody has moved out, and now there's a bunch of younger couples, late 20s, early 30s. And he said nobody in his cul-de-sac knows how to do anything. No. So they're always coming to him, you know, for advice. And, I mean, that's just kind of the state of where we are right now. So when you got somebody that wants to learn, and you invest in them and encourage them and give them every opportunity to grow, and, you know, there's never any promises there, but, you know, it depends on when positions open up, and they all understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you.
It's been fun. And I don't know, are we going to do another career day, Jamie?
There's definitely been talk about it. So, I would say at some point something similar.
Stay tuned for that. And we invite everyone to go to our website at stayfox.com. If you ever want to reach us, you can reach us by email. That's info@dayfox.com. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be back next Sunday morning at 8:00.